Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. A peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked? Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Drew Han Show. How's that for an intro? You know, I recently was dabbling in some pickle experimentation for a Super Bowl halftime party show I was having. I wanted to dye the pickles red. Have you guys ever heard of this? And it's possible with the help of Kool-Aid, you can dye color pickles. And I never got around to it. Instead, I just carried around this jar of pickles in my man purse for over a weekend because I intended to prep it. You have to give it a couple days. I didn't prep it. I never got around to it. This jar of pickles just followed me around until we just decided to use them for Bloody Marys during our Super Bowl party. How do you like that? Remember, folks, if you haven't heard it before, you've heard it here first on the Drew Han Show. You know, I was looking up a little bit of info about Peter Piper and his pickled peppers. I was curious, you know, where this all came from, and I found out that Peter and his famous pickled peppers first appeared in print in 1813 in John Harris's Peter Piper's Practical Principles of Plain and Perfect Pronunciation. Pop. But as the case was, many classic tongue twisters, the rhyme itself may have already been in common use by that time. Several spice enthusiasts have suggested that Peter in question was based on the 18th century French horticulturist Pierre Pierve, though the connection should probably be taken with a grain of salt, or pepper in this case. Much like Mary Anning and her rumored seashore seashells, Pierve's ties to the poem, while feasible, aren't necessarily rooted in concrete evidence. That little bit of tidbit information about Peter Piper and his pickled peck of pickled peppers was brought to you by mentalfloss.com. Anyways, aren't you excited for the show? There's so much to look forward to, aside from that little bit of pickle talk. I'm going to be discussing a statue of the valley, as well as the Super Bowl halftime show. Lots of dramatics there, hey? And then further on, the hypocrisy of arts. I'm a little curious about why people are the way they are. And later on, I fascinatedly found out, a little late to the party too, that they are going to be producing a show where the setting is in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I believe that's going to be on Disney Plus or Apple Plus, one of those pluses, one of those platforms. So I'm very excited for that. So much fun stuff ahead, and as usual, I'm always showcasing the music in the valley, and this week I am showcasing new music from some of our favorite Mile artists, including Mo Latta, Sam Birchfield, Seth Gleer, and King Cardinal, many of which those artists are coming to the area in the upcoming months to perform. So gets to listening, and I want to help you with that. Remember, I know nothing about music, but I like to escort you through the experience that I have in the valley with the music and what they provide us with. So on that note, let's get things rocking with a new song by Mo Latta titled LA Loop.
Some seas away.
Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. A peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked? Well, if you haven't heard it before, you've heard it here, folks. That was the latest by Molotta and the Humbled, titled L.A. Loop. Welcome back to the Drew Hahn Show. Loving that song, and I am very excited to hear that they have a new album coming out in March. It's called Ready Coat, and I can't wait to hear some more of the details of this album. And furthermore, upon their album release tour, they are coming to Appleton on April 17th for an Outer Edge show. So that's super exciting to see that they are back in town. Molotta is certainly loved here. Always put on a show and a great rock band. So I'm looking forward to their return. Come on home, boys. Come on home. All right. So we move right along. Here's an interesting topic. Ruffling some feathers here in the valley. Who's heard about The Collective? That's right. It's a statue that was resurrected back in December off of College Avenue, East College Avenue. And it's this statue by picture. It's fascinating. I don't know what to make of it just yet. There are a lot of naysayers and a lot of haysayers. Well, you know, positive and negative. I'm just trying to find a fancy, fun way of saying that. The statue, if I could describe it on air, is a giant face. And this giant face is put together by a bunch of other smaller faces. And by face, I mean just the aesthetic design of a face. So it's built of empty, I believe, propane tanks or other kind of tanks like that with faces painted on them. And then a larger face is made of them to create one face of the sculpture. And it's a little weary to look at if you're not art inclined. Let's put it that way. You know, not all of us appreciate arts in the same manner, and everyone interprets art a little bit different. Everyone has a different opinion of what is good art and what is bad art. Like I said, this statue is creating quite the buzz over there on College Avenue, so I think the point has been made of the statue already, The Collective. So that's pretty fascinating. If I could give you a little detail pulled from the Post Crescent website regarding an article on the great debate of if they should move the statue, as residents nearby are not finding it appealing and don't want to look at it every day. And so pulled from the website, it says, artist Paul Boberitz has watched from his home near Menominee Falls as the Fox Cities has critiqued and debated the aesthetics and meaning of his sculpture titled The Collective. Detractors say it's ugly, creepy, disgusting, horrifying, and belongs in a landfill away from public view. Those are some pretty aggressive words, too. Goes on to say, in Paul's words, I'm awed and amazed when I listen to what people see in artwork that I've created, he told the Post Crescent. Other people see things and feel things that I've never considered, and it adds to my experience. It goes on to say, The Collective is made from salvaged propane tanks that have been turned into faces that make up a large head. The piece was installed in November on public right away at the west end of College Avenue Bridge as part of the Sculpture Valley's third season of Acre of Art. So I read further that the statue will be there for probably about 2 years, I think, and then it goes up for auction and someone can purchase it. So whether you like the statue or not, consider it's not permanently there and that it's a timepiece, if you will. Whether, you know, and if you don't like it, yeah, put up with it for 2 years perhaps, and then it's going to go down in history as this piece of art that stood and caused controversy in Appleton. So, I mean, there's a positive way to look at the negative aspect of it. It's not permanent, it's not forever, you know, in some manner. What I found fascinating was the Post Crescent tried to get some quotes from people regarding this statue and their thoughts and input on it. And so I thought it would be fun to read their quotes because I found them quite interesting. And I'm going to try to put my spin on it, so bear with me, okay? So Chuck Luring wrote in an email, ever hear the saying, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig? You can dress an ugly statue in a cloak of diversity and it's still an ugly statue. If that was in my neighborhood, I would petition the city to put up a fence up in my yard so I couldn't see it. Phyllis Dittenfuss of Appleton has seen the sculpture only from her car, but said, it looks like a pile of dead people from a concentration camp. She suggested it be moved close to the Trout Museum of Art. More people walk there. So they could study it, walk around it, and it could better and get a better feel for it. Joan Vogel of Appleton said, this is the ugliest piece of art I have ever seen. I couldn't believe what I saw a few weeks ago. It's frightening. Please move it elsewhere. Lois Kimball of Grand Chute said, it should be in a residential area. The landfill would probably be the best place. Diane Mann Rivers of Appleton said she attended the Art Institute of Chicago and has seen a lot of modern sculpture. When it's done well, there's nothing better, she said. Unfortunately, this metal hunk is just plain ugly, and not in a dark, enigmatic way that could possibly have been attractive, like a black raven or a moonless night. No, this thing is just plain ugly, juvenile, and dumb. Lisa Loma of Minneapolis, whose father and brother live in Appleton, but she does not. So she felt her need to put her two cents in and said, the sculpture is disturbing and frightening to small children. With so much ugliness and violence in the world, that sculpture is out of place. It definitely doesn't belong on a curve of a very busy thoroughfare. Thoroughfare? How fancy of Lisa Loma from Minneapolis. James Van Sambeek of Appleton said the sculpture is a distraction to drivers. It should be in an art studio so people who like artwork can look at it. It should not be in the busiest public streets forcing people to look at it. Funny, you know, there's like 100 arches, you know, the golden arches around the valley, and somehow we all become numb to seeing these everywhere we go. Don't look at it, folks. You know, look at it once and drive on. My goodness. Then Carol Bloomer of Grand Chute said, I would not want to look at this head every day out my window. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but my eye is not beholden to this piece. Aaron Wedge of Appleton described the sculpture as horrendous. My apologies to the artist, but I doubt he would want this thing in his front lawn any more than the residents living near it. You know, so there's the tractors, but then there's the supporters, and they were commented on saying on the collective this. And Bremer of Appleton said the sculpture initially caught her by surprise. It took me a while to get used to it. Today, I look forward to its provocative and evocative greeting each time I pass it. It makes me smile. Bremer said she hopes the city will continue to celebrate and welcome all the many examples of diversity represented in the works of art that make Appleton unique. Amen, sister. Paula Ullum said, we love the design and the thought that must have gone into the collective. I honestly feel that if those who oppose this piece actually took a few moments to stop and study this piece, they would change their minds on how they feel about it. It immediately won me over upon a little closer inspection. Robin Jansen said, I live in the neighborhood and I'm a fan. Chris Harvey said, I support having the collective remain in its current location. I pass by the sculpture on a daily basis, and I enjoy seeing it every time. It's an asset to the neighborhood and lends character to Appleton. Gail Schultz of Appleton said she would be happy to have the sculpture in her neighborhood. Well, I hope all of you consider being open and appreciative to modern sculptures in our neighborhood. Art can be thought-provoking to cause us to think and question, maybe even open up our eyes to new things. We may not be able to travel to Chicago or other larger cities often to visit big art museums, but we can venture out in our own communities to see works of art. Brianna Ganzel said, Oh my God,
I support having the collective remain in its current location. I completely support the collective. The vision it shows me is how the older generation and younger generation are able to pull together to become a more prosperous and happy people.
Karen Van Ryzen of Appleton drives by the sculpture several times a week and enjoys seeing it. She doesn't view it as being a historical neighborhood, but rather a major thoroughfare.
You know, I think everyone has different taste, and as long as something isn't vulgar, it should be left in place.
So there you have it, The Collective. Go check it out if you haven't already, and just form an opinion for yourself. Like I said, it's there, it's not there, whatever happens to it, it's out there right now for us to ponder and explore. Welcome to the unique arts of the valley. I love it. I think it's time to get into another song, and I want you to take a close listen to this one, folks, because it starts out with a haunting sense of bewilderment, but finishes with a juxtaposed sense of curiosity layered with determination. That's my own insights into this song. You should give it a listen yourself. It's a new song by Sam Birchfield, and it's titled Colorado.
Misted summit where the sun begins at dawn, surely cutting through the fog. Cool see the bread of the elk and owl. Someone enters all alone. I have come to meet you, Colorado.
Welcome back to the Drew Hahn Show. I'm your host, Drew Hahn, and if you haven't heard it before, you've heard it here first. By the way, if you want a better insight into Sam's music and his new upcoming album due out at the end of February, you can catch him on Pip the Pansy's first episode of her podcast titled It's a Podcast. You can get an exclusive listen by signing up to be a patron of Pip's. I love the look inside of their music making and details of Sam's upcoming album. I found it very intriguing how Sam's hit single, Blue Ridge June, went from a song about love between a man and a woman and morphed into a song about man and his love for nature. I much encourage you to check out Pip's podcast. It's fun and whimsical journey into the minds of married Pip and Sam and their insights on music and the writing process. Meanwhile, if you want to see Sam live, Mr. Birchfield is coming to the Valley. He'll be performing soon at a Rhythm and Brews showcase. Yeah. And Pip's on her way to town for an Outer Edge show as well. So we have a double feature coming our way. We couldn't be more exciting. Speaking of double features, can we talk about something that's caused quite a stir on the interwebs, but it always does every year, so it's no shocker. The Super Bowl halftime show. Not the game itself, of course, but the halftime show. This year, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira split the billing and performed quite an erotically charged halftime show, if you will. It's to each their own decisiveness on how they feel about it. I thought it was an exceptional performance. Was it provocative? Yes. Was it meant to push boundaries? Yes. Will it be remembered for a long time? Yes. Did it cause controversy? Yes. They checked all the boxes. But it's interesting to see how the democracy and the debates of what people feel and think and how social media plays into that, and the ability for people to bitch and complain about a subject as like two women, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, performing on stage. If you didn't see the halftime show, they were dressed in pretty much next to nothing. But not really. They were wearing jumpsuits that were flesh tone colored, so it wasn't like a hoo-ha was actually going to be shown at any point, but it still led the mind to believe what it wanted to believe. I thought they looked sensational on stage. And I think the part that caught a lot of people off guard was the opious amounts of crotch grabbing. Their hands ventured down to their crotch and a lot of pelvic thrusting happened. But that's not really new, in my opinion. They just draw attention to it this time. And in this day and age, when women are, you know, trying to show women power, I don't know why that is such a big deal. The biggest thing that I got out of it was from people my own generation who went to social media right away to post about it. I'll give you an example. An acquaintance of mine on Facebook, someone close in my age, had this to say immediately after the Super Bowl, and this is a man. He said, "Well, that was disgusting. Sure glad my very impressionable six-year-old left the room. Pepsi and NFL should be ashamed to say they make a family-friendly product." I was just like, shut up, dude. Oh my gosh, no one forces you to watch that crap. And the minute you see that it's inappropriate for your children, how about not have them watch it? It's your decision and your call to choose what you feel is inappropriate sometimes. And while it was a bit risque, I felt, why a six-year-old is going to be glued to the TV during halftime? Aren't they usually playing around the house anyways, instead of sitting there watching a halftime show? I'm not a parent, so what the fuck do I know? But I just found it interesting that he had this to say. And ironically, I thought, wow, social media is going to be ablaze on this subject and my feed is going to be littered with all this controversy. I must have done well over the years to weed out the people who use Facebook as a place to post their opinion and make blatant statements about stuff that, you know, isn't really worth it or worth the time to read or write. And so I didn't see any of it, but I saw a lot of posts about how people were, you know, supporting the women, and they wanted to post and boast on Facebook, you know, like for those detractors and naysayers of the halftime show. And I was like, I wasn't really getting a lot of pushback, and I'm equally surprised how in the media the next day I thought there would be an explosion on yahoo.com, at least, of headlines of people, you know, to writing and discussing, you know, the controversy of what could be the halftime show. But there was none of that. I have really seen nothing in the public eye as far as I watched it play out in media on my own social media pages, and then on the one source I tend to use is Yahoo, of backlash of not being supportive of women. So that, I mean, Eric, that's amazing that the media outlets didn't take to that and run with it also and like try to stir up people's mind as well. And I think it goes to say, you know, like, don't mess with what they're trying to do and a message they might be trying to send, and don't knock women down. You know, people have said, you know, Adam Levine was shirtless last year. Yes, he was. And men have been grabbing their crotches for decades on stage. So why a lady does it and it's offensive and, I'm sorry, disgusting, as this gentleman said on his Facebook page, is beyond me. The thing that I thought it brought the most attention to in my mind was the fact that it finally called out women hating women. A lot of times these opposing viewpoints come from a man and world dynamic and men not being supportive of women, or women wanting to not support men, or their lack of support of women. And so I think this year it really showed how middle-aged white American women can be such negative Nancys and opinionated bitches. Because that's what I'm gathering, they had the most to say about the halftime show. You know, how it was inappropriate. But, and I loved to see that other women of their age or other generations sticking up for J-Lo and Shakira and not letting people be so negative about it. You know, like if J-Lo and Shakira can flaunt it because they got it, why shouldn't they? Hey, and that's been the message I've been seeing from women. So I'm just loving that women are actually standing up against women. Not that that needed to happen, but a lot of times I felt both genders silence themselves almost because they're afraid of what their own gender might say of them. And it's not raising any levels for either parties as far as like pushing boundaries and getting past these naive Neanderthal thoughts. So what it boils down to me, what I saw, was that when I see women sticking up for women on TV or in the arts and not afraid to oppose another woman, is that, you know, it's to what I think the past two decades of social media have done to us. We've boiled tensions about racism and homophobia and sexism. That's where a lot of our underlying, you know, butting heads with other people and opinions come from. It's about race, sexual orientation, and gender, and who gets to say what and determine what the other gets to do and where they get to show it and blah, blah, blah. You strip all that away and you take what has been happening on social media, it's hypocrisy. I think it's hypocrisy at its finest. It had nothing to do with color, sexual orientation, or gender. It was just blatant hypocrisy and not following through on your facts. You just wanted to be opinionated about something you were at a moment uncomfortable about. But instead of just moving on with your life, and if you feel that it's not impressionable for your child, teach that to them. Pull them away from the TV and express your disinterest and guide them in the morals that you want to coach your child. But to tell the rest of a society and make them feel guilty for not feeling as stricken and shocked and awe as you are is not our problem. This is not a, have you not seen Cher in the past 2, 3, 4 decades? She has been dressing provocatively for years. Look back at some of those other halftime performers. Nothing is different about this show, okay? And those girls, J-Lo and Shakira, killed it up there. I think this might be the end to shameful bitching or shaming people on social media. I really hope so. I really hope so. I saw the power of people wanting to say enough is enough of the negativity. Just walk away. Right?
Can we try breathing with each other now? Just you and I, grieving what we're feeling out loud. 'Cause you're right beside me, but we're oceans away, pushing, pulling away. So tonight, confide me, and we'll ride out the waves together. We're going through it all in stages, growing in and out of changes, one season to another, trading our colors, leaves on the pavement, stages. Don't have words for emotions that I've never found. And my first instinct is dealing with it by myself. There's no language, just empathy. Don't know where we're going, don't know where to begin. Such a strange geography. Let's just take it all in. Together, we're going through it all in stages, growing in and out of changes, one season to another, trading our colors, leaves on the pavement, stages.
Thanks for tuning in to The Drew Han Show. If you haven't heard it before, you have heard it here first. And that was the latest single from Seth Glier titled Stages. I'm very excited for new music from him and very excited to say he is coming back to the Valley. So if you liked what you heard, you can catch him live at the Stone Arch coming up here in March. Super excited. Get your tickets, folks. You're not going to want to miss this show. And I can truly say that because I caught him during Mile of Music and he was awesome. My friends and I just loved him. First of all, he's a gorgeous man to look at perform. Amazing vocals, sensational writing, and just all around has it. You know, so I want you to check out Seth Glear. If you get an opportunity, it's a must. And again, his latest song was titled Stages. Another one of my favorite songs by him is titled Like I Do. So Google that, Spotify it, whatever you do. Look it up after you're done listening to this podcast. You know, we were talking about hypocrisy on the other side of the song. I want to go into that regarding the arts. The Oscar Awards are coming up, and it's one of those things I often hear from people or see on social media. It's like, oh my gosh, why do I want to watch the Oscar Awards? I don't know any of those movies nominated. Why are those movies even nominated if no one's seen them? And I find that very, you know, Hippocratic? Not a Hippocratic oath. I find that very hypocritical of people, you know, that they complain that those movies should not be nominated or they don't know any of the movies that are nominated. You know, I love Marvel movies and a good franchise film, and those are some stellar movies. And they get nominated for certain categories, yes, but they're not nominated for, like, Picture of the Year usually. Just to give you an idea, the movies nominated this year are Ford vs. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, I'm both intrigued by some of these smaller pictures that don't get as much publicity as, like, the major franchise film and blockbuster movies do. Because of the Oscar awards and all the awards and awards season, it pushes me to go want to see some of these movies. I enjoy watching the ceremonies and the actors come together, and so I want to know what their pieces of work is and what they worked so hard on. You know, you often know the names of the actors and actresses, but people don't often go and see those movies. Here's your opportunity. These do come around to our theaters. I've seen Marriage Story, which is actually conveniently available on Netflix, and then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was exceptional. That came through. It was directed by Quentin Tarantino. So those are a couple of good ones. I wish I could have seen Ford versus Ferrari that had Matt Damon and Christian Bale. That one looked really intriguing. And The Irishman is also available on Netflix as well. Directed by Martin Scorsese. Robert De Niro, isn't it? Speaking of Robert De Niro, one of my favorite categories to watch this year on the Oscar Awards is Best Supporting Actor. These are the Hollywood greats and classics, if you will, nominated. Sometimes the turnover in Hollywood, you know, you lose track and you don't always know all these actresses and actors. But these names you will know from decades now. It's Tom Hanks is nominated, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Brad Pitt. Stand-up actors from our era, all sharing the same category together. And that is awesome. Nominated for Best Actor is Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix, and Jonathan Pryce. So the only name I don't recognize out of there is Jonathan Pryce. Anyways, I'm rambling and bambling on. I just wanted to say how the hypocrisy of a sculpture, the hypocrisy of a Super Bowl halftime show, and even the hypocrisy of movies, and all it seemed to have bled into a theme in this week's episode. So I just wanted to follow through on that. Also, speaking of entertainment, this is fascinating. Have you guys heard about this? It's a TV show that's going to star Kristen Chenoweth. It's going to be set in the Valley in Appleton, Wisconsin. The show's currently titled The Biggest Star in Appleton. And from what I gathered, it's about Kristen Chenoweth. She's some kind of teacher and local actress in the area, pretty well known for Appleton. And another younger person comes to the Valley and kind of steals her spotlight a little bit. So they're making the setting Appleton, and this is awesome. We're making a splash in the entertainment industry from music now to TV. And I think the show is in development. It's going to be on either Apple Plus or Disney Plus, one of those pluses. I don't know. There are so many now. But how exciting that we're going to have a show with the setting of Appleton. That's great, folks. All right. You know, we've had a lot of music going on. Here's a band that needs to come back to the Appleton area very soon, though. First discovered at Mile 7, they are based out of Denver, Colorado. They just released a new song, and it's titled The Long Goodbye. If you haven't heard it before, you've heard it here first. This is King Cardinal.
Just give us your name, one thing about you. Haven't seen a smile on a face for so long. I can hear another story I haven't heard before. I can sing another chorus, every song is a bore. So I'm making a break for the door, 'cause I'm coming. Get me out of this house. Yeah, I'm breaking out.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning into the Druhan Show. We've reached the end, and I much appreciate your love for the podcast. Don't forget to like, follow, share, and subscribe. I much appreciate that. Give me your feedback, folks. If you want me to talk about something, holler at me. I'll holler back at you, girl. And I want to go out with this real quick. Have you guys heard about the coronavirus? Of course you've heard about the coronavirus. It's all the news. It's all the rage right now. Who hasn't heard about the coronavirus? Much like Ebola, it's just captivated the world, and I'm sure it will be quarantined and shut down, you know, soon. But in the meantime, you know, it's ruffling some more feathers in our fine nation. Here's a story, though, I caught on the news, and I thought it was quite fascinating, regarding a flight from Toronto to Jamaica. About 2 hours in, which puts it in about the Jacksonville, Florida area, the flight had to turn around. Apparently, a gentleman on the plane claimed he had the coronavirus. And so policy and procedure, they just needed to turn the flight around and go back to Toronto. Well, after they examined him, they found that he was symptom-free, and now he's being charged with mischief and is due in Ontario court in March. Now, how do you like that? How would you like to be on a flight to Jamaica, and 2 hours in, you have to turn around and take the two-hour flight back home for someone who claimed to have the coronavirus but didn't? What propelled this man to feel the need to, halfway through a flight, you know, divulge that he has the coronavirus is beyond me. I bet he forgot his wallet and needed a cheap way back home. So what can I say? Your flight to Jamaica's delayed, folks. I'm so sorry. Your vacation is not going to go off without a hitch. Anyways, thanks for tuning into the Drew Han Show. I hope you've liked what you've heard today. And tune in tomorrow and all those great things. Remember, if you haven't heard it before, you've heard it here first. Smooches.
We're going through it all in stages, growing in and out of changes, one season to another, trading our colors, leaves on the pavement, stages.